Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome back to our great big fun Friday show here at Catholic Answers Live. I am your very happy host, Cy Kellett, and I'm happy because I'm back in the studio with all the good people here at Catholic Answers, which is really nice. I was traveling earlier in the week and got to meet I'll just put it this way. I have friends in Louisiana now. That's a good thing to have, friends in Louisiana. I had a great time there. I'm very grateful to all the folks in Iowa, Louisiana, who were so generous and welcomed me for a good part of the week. They don't fly big airplanes out of that airport, though, I got to tell you. And those seats are small, and it's a little bit scary. But I'm okay now, in case anyone was worried about me. I'm okay now. This hour, the way to put it is that we live in a world, a modern world, in which it's become spiritually dangerous for all of us, and especially for children. Probably as a consequence of the selfishness and irresponsibility of adults, we have a world that confuses children, upsets children, and tempts children away from what's very best for them. As parents, grandparents, other concerned adults, how do we protect our children, both body and soul? How do we help them through the mess of the modern world towards a healthy, wholesome, and ultimately happy life? Well, how about directing them towards a relationship to the greatest protector of childhood there is, the one who was entrusted with the child Jesus in the most intimate way? And therefore, our topic this hour is Marian Consecration for Children. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. I suppose one way to put it is, if you'd like to know what Mary can do for your child, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is one of our favorites, Dr. Carrie Gress. She has a doctorate in philosophy from the Catholic University of America and now is a faculty member at Pontifex University. She's the author of a whole bunch of books, Nudging Conversions, A Practical Guide to Bringing Those You Love Back to the Church, Ultimate Makeover, City of Saints, A Pilgrim's Guide to John Paul II's Krakow. And she wrote The Marian Option, God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis, which I recommend to everyone. And now she's got a brand new blog, myfavoritecatholicthings.com, and a brand new book, Marian Consecration for Children, Bringing Mary to Life in Young Hearts and Minds. Dr. Carrie Gress, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And it's especially this is a heroic visit today because your power is out. You're in the dark.
My power is out. I am. I'm in the car and hoping that my phone will keep charging. So, yeah, it's got caught in the storm out here on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. It's a big, giant storm. So I guess we should remind folks, if you're not there, caught up in all that, pray for those on the East Coast who have to travel home or make it through the night with power out all over the place and lots of snow falling.
Yeah, and we were lucky. We didn't get snow, but I just got a message from a friend of mine. They've got 6 inches of heavy snow and no power and trees down everywhere. So it's going to be a long time before those people get power back on, and it's cold there.
Yeah, yeah. So indeed, let's keep folks in our prayers. It seems late, I guess, but it's not that late. This is March for a big, giant winter storm. It's not that late. All right. Well, you have a book, and it's actually two things. This latest book is two things. It's Marian Consecration for Children, and it's got all this help on the idea of Marian Consecration for Children, but it's also a physically beautiful object. And is that on purpose so that it will appeal to
absolutely.
Eye of children?
No, it was really intentional, and Tan did an amazing job. I think they did an amazing job with the Marian option, so I wasn't surprised at all when they came out with a design for this. And it was something we'd been talking about for a while, but they really exceeded my expectations. And just the beauty of the outside of the book and then the illustrations on the inside, I think they did a fantastic job.
Yeah, they did. And I suppose that's one of the things that we have to do for young souls, because there's so much that's just transitory in their lives. You know, these little screens and the thumb swipes and all that. And I can remember, I wonder if you can, as a child, like if you had a really fine picture book where someone, that you could spend a long time kind of contemplating those pictures.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And each page is you know, it's not an illustrated book in the typical sense where you've got an image that matches the text of it. But in fact, it's different images of Our Lady and their angels and just decorative flourishes and all kinds of things that I think elevate the mind of the soul, but are also speak to a child's soul in a certain way and aren't kind of dumbing down the rhetoric or, you know, it's not too simple or, you know, bad font, it's hard to read or anything like that. I think they did a great job of elevating the subject. And I think a child's heart will kind of respect that and rise the occasion with it instead of feeling like, oh, it's just another prayer book. But there's something special about this that I think as they go through the process will also kind of unfold in their hearts, both between the visuals as well as the text of the book.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose if we're going to talk about Marian consecration for children, you better help us with Marian consecration. What are we talking about when we're talking about consecration to Mary or to Jesus through Mary or what is it?
Right. How does all that work?
Right.
Well, this is harkens back to St. Louis de Montfort, who I believe is the first that came up with this idea of really consecrating ourselves to her, of giving ourselves to her in a dramatic way. He actually spoke of the language of slavery, of making ourselves slaves to her. And I think a lot of that doesn't ring well with our contemporary ears. And in fact, a lot of us have a hard time reading his books. I mean, there's just a lot of dense language in there. They're just concepts that are so foreign to us. And you know, Father Michael Gately has done an incredible job of making the consecration much more accessible for adults. And so I think that the consecration really, though, is basically just a way of drawing closer to Our Lady, to making that relationship much more, making it deeper in our lives and coming to know who she is and allowing her to be a spiritual mother, you know, just that much more deeply than as she is, you know, for all people, but really giving ourselves to her as a son or daughter in a more direct way. And one of the things I discovered in writing the Marian option, just the incredible fruitfulness of Marian consecration. I know in my own life, I consecrated myself to Our Lady 20 years ago, and I would say it was a real pivotal point in my life. I mean, changing me from very secular, worldly co-ed to, you know, moving in a totally different direction from that, very slowly, very gently. And I can tell you that there's, you know, almost everybody that I've talked to that has done Marian consecration, not a one of them has said, you know, I regret my Marian consecration.
Yeah.
There really is just this sense of the spiritual Kevlar that Our Lady wraps around us and wants to protect us and lead us to her son like she always does. That's her goal.
Yeah. And would you agree with me that the world seems increasingly spiritually dangerous for children?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think that, you know, as a mom, I have four kids, and it's one of those things where I feel like every day there's something there, new almost, it feels like, that I have to watch out for. Even just trying to figure out what shows that they can watch. And it seems like there's always something planted in there where it's either very dark or it's a lot of magic, or there's just things that, you know, are not edifying the soul and, even for small children. So, and that's not even talking about, what they're going to deal with at school, you know, all kinds of things, what they're going to deal with on the internet, all of that. It is just feels like there's landmines left and right. And, I think that's one of the reasons for this idea, was just to feel like, you know, it's one thing for me to ask Our Lady and Our Lord to bless my children. And, you know, when I was pregnant, one of the first things I did when I found I was pregnant with each one was to go to a church and consecrate all of them to Our Lady and to Jesus. But that still left me as the mediator between Mary and my children, between Jesus and my children. And this is a way to sort of take that out. And so that there's a much more direct relationship with Mary through that. And I initially had the idea for doing this for my, particularly my two older daughters, who were probably like 4 and 6 at the time. And I thought there's got to be something that is really kind of bite-sized that I could use for them that would help them kind of understand Our Lady and this relationship and consecration. And I just couldn't find anything. And I asked someone who's a Mariologist about it. He said, you know, I don't know of one. Maybe you should consider writing it. And, you know, I thought he was crazy when he said that. As at the time, I hadn't thought about the Marian option. I wasn't a theologian. And so I just sort of shelved the idea. And then when I wrote the Marian option, it just was something that just kept coming back to me, the importance of it and the importance of consecrating children, and certainly a crash course in Mariology, and I learned so much through it. And so, you know, and I think it was actually you who said that in that book, I really bring Mary to life as a person. And that really struck me when you said that, and that was also something I kept in mind when I wrote this book, is I wanted them to feel like she was a real person in their life that they can kind of have a relationship with and go much deeper in it than something very abstract.
Yeah, right, right. It's that it's all about relationship, isn't it? I mean, that that's what the Catholic faith is.
And right.
It's not just an idea or a program or a concept. It's a relationship. And I suppose part of why we maybe resist ideas sometimes, like, oh, consecration to Mary, what, you know, like we get a little creeped out or something, is that we maybe don't maybe we've been kind of talked into this idea that what really matters is having a, you know, what your philosophy is or what your ideas are, or what, and not that there are actual people like Mary who will help you and, and in transformative ways will help you.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think you are right. We can really get derailed so easily into thinking that it's philosophy is important or that theology is important. And of course, all of those things are important in their ordered place, but fundamentally it comes down to relationship and having that close relationship with the Trinity and certainly with Our Lady.
I am so glad to hear that I possibly at some time in the past said something smart. That's very encouraging to me. As a matter of fact, on that note, I think I'm going to take a break. Marian Consecration for Children is the name of Dr. Carrie Gress's brand new book, Marian Consecration for Children. A beautiful book, both in what it says and how it looks. You will really be impressed with what a beautiful physical object it is. 888-318-7884, our number, if you'd like to talk about how Mary can be the protector of the spiritual life of the children in your life, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. This Lent, plant seeds of faith in the hearts and minds of your non-Catholic friends and family. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today. You can order your copies of Why We're Catholic by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Carrie Gress is our guest. You see her on EWTN all the time. You probably have been exposed to some of her books. If you haven't been exposed to The Marian Option, I hope that you will be. A very, very fine book on how Mary is. Mary's got a plan for us, and she's there to help us as our society seems to be facing more and more and more difficulties. And getting with her plan is the way to go. I became convinced of that when I read the book, so I hope you'll get the Marian option. But Dr. Gress's latest book is Marian Consecration for Children, Bringing Mary to Life in Young Hearts and Minds. And I want to talk for – but I do want to get to the calls, so callers, hang on. We will get to you. But I want to ask you about this, Bringing Mary to Life. That's some – to me, that's – I don't know. I've told you this privately just between the two of us. I may have said it at some point on air, but as a young boy, Catholic boy, with the very, very saccharine kind of Marian pictures and statues, it actually kind of put me off of Mary, and she didn't seem alive. She seemed kind of freaky. Tell me about what your kind of agenda for bringing Mary to life. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, I think this was my initial struggle, for about a month, I was just sort of stalled out on this book, like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? Because I didn't want it to be a book that was just another, felt like a catechetical textbook and was very dry and sort of not engaging, because it's still a 33-day program. And, the best thing about this is it can be done as families, it can be done with older children and younger children, it can be and done as individuals, but there's something about it. There's something in it, I think, for everyone. And I think actually a lot of adults will take away from it some great things too. But what I finally, of course, I was praying the rosary and I had this just great insight. Like, why don't you take children's stories that they're already familiar with, that either they've had read to them or they've read themselves or that they're going to read, and use those stories to help craft an understanding of who Mary is. So, the first 5 days are sort of all about understanding Jesus. So I go back to Narnia and I look at Aslan and I'll take pieces from that to sort of explain who Christ is. And then I talk about Our Lady and, the story that they're probably not reading anymore, but Runaway Bunny is an incredible story about a bunny who wants to run away from his mother. And the mother says, anywhere you go, I'm going to find you. And then finally the bunny says, well, I might as well just stay right here in your lap if you're always going to find me. And what mother doesn't feel like that when she's towards her children? And so trying to impress that upon a child, I think, using these stories was really what I did with the book to help make it more dynamic and interesting. And then I also have in each day sort of a snippet that might be something interesting about Our Lady and the Moon or Our Lady and Ladybugs or some sort of trivia piece that they probably didn't know. Some of the pieces were things that I mentioned in the Marian option. Some of them were brand new insights and ideas. It was fun to bring all that in. And then, of course, just focusing on that idea of mission. I think children have a sense they want to have a mission. They want to feel like they're accomplished and they're headed towards something and that it can do something tangible now. And so there's a whole section on child saints and saints that did amazing things when they were children. And then I talk about virtues and vices and how, again, using stories to show how vices hinder us and virtues help us. And then finally, I put a whole section in there on knights and princesses because, of course, who doesn't love knights and princesses? And tried to really channel into what it is that we love about them and why it is that we just can't get away from those stories as children and integrate them into what it is that Our Lady has for them to do in their life now.
I love the idea of a family sitting down and doing this together over the course of 33 days. That's a beautiful idea. Yeah. I will also say to you before I go to the calls, the world is in much worse shape than I thought if people aren't reading Runaway Bunny to their kids anymore. I mean, come on. Well, how bad off are you? I didn't know that. I wish you hadn't told me that. Let's go to Samantha in Houston, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app because really smart people do listen on the Catholic Answers app. Samantha, your question for Dr. Carrie Gress.
Hi, Dr. and hi, Fi.
Hi.
Hi, Samantha.
I have four kids, and they're wonderful, three boys, and my youngest is a girl. My youngest is 14, that's my girl, and she has, over the past year or so, for some reason, I homeschool my kids. The high schoolers are in a very good, very traditional Catholic high school, and I've got one in college, but she is just decided she rejects the faith completely. I have no idea where it comes from. I've tried to question her. She is just adamant. She just says she doesn't want to pray. She doesn't want to do anything. And so I know my boys, even the one that's in college, would sit around and listen to me and do this every day if he were home. Mm-hmm. But she, I can 99% certainty, she will not participate. And I was wondering if this was something I could do. How would I use this with her?
Right. You know, I think that obviously there's some big questions there. I mean, one of the things that you could do just as a mom is even do a Marian consecration and pray for her if this is something that she's not going to be engaged in. The other question, of course, is that, you know, there's always things like peer pressure, and it's so hard on girls.
Yeah.
And I would say that probably, you know, not knowing her, not knowing you, not knowing the situation at all.
Yeah.
If this is something that just flipped like a switch, I'm sure that at some point someone told her it wasn't cool to have the faith here. Who knows?
Yeah.
And that's something that is incredibly hard to sort of extract yourself from and to sort of see the bigger picture. And I guess it's where you know, as the mama, gets to intercede for her and really just pray for where she's at and try and help her, you know, as best you can as a mother in light of all this, because that's an incredible cross and struggle. And, you know, it's hard too, because there's got to be a lot of pain here when you're rejecting something that has been rooted in you as a child. And then to reject it at that stage, there's a big uprooting and a big shift going on there. I can honestly say, not having yet had to deal with teenagers, my hat's off to you, and I will certainly pray for you and your daughter. But I think consecrating yourself and even trying to, you know, if your sons are willing to do it with you, this book is really geared towards 5 to 12-year-olds is the range. But there are books by Father Michael Gately who might be more age appropriate to you and your sons as far as the content. If you guys could do it simultaneously, you don't have to be in the same place. You could all do it maybe at the same time. And there would be some incredible fruit for your family and certainly for your daughter in that experience.
Samantha?
Yes.
How's that all strike you?
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Well, and I can tell you, as a father of two formerly teenage daughters, they do come back to you. Like, you go.
That's what I keep hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone told me that when they were about 13. Another father told me that. He said, you know, you're going to miss them while they're doing this adolescent thing, but they come back to you. They're you know, in all their beauty and glory and all that you loved. Like, they
that's so great.
It comes back. Then they're wonderful young women. Samantha, thank you very, very much. For that, let's go to Andrew in Vancouver, Washington, listening on Modern Day Radio. Andrew, you are on with Dr. Carrie Grass. Your question, please.
Hi there. I had a question kind of about the nature of Mary's intercession. I'm a Catholic convert, and only a few months ago I heard about this consecration thing. So in trying to explain to my friends, I typically like lump Mary and saints in the same boat. But this unique consecration, something's different about Mary, and I get that, but I guess what about her intercession is so different? Is it just the degree that she's closer to Christ because she is his mother, or is her intercession of a different nature or kind?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a different nature, and I very simply, you know, putting it into a soundbite, the reason why it's different is because Christ chose to come through her to us. And so it makes perfect sense for us to go back to him through her, that she is this intermediary between us and Christ, also because she shares our human nature but doesn't share in our sin. There's this connection with him that is not at all, it's, you know, qualitatively different than the other saints for that very reason. And as a result, you know, because she was sinless and because she was chosen by God for this, she's definitely got these graces and these capacities to do things because of that close relationship she has with the Trinity, that she can intercede with us in a way that the other saints are not able to. So I think that's the short answer, really.
Andrew?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
All right.
I do go into it in the Marian option. If you wanted a deeper explanation, I have a whole chapter on, you know, certainly Mariology versus Mariolatry, and then also trying to explain that relationship that she has with the Trinity, and why it is that she's different than the saints.
Andrew, thanks very, very much for that call. I feel like sometimes this is my experience, but I do see other people say similar things or have had similar experiences. And that is, like, Mary is a big problem for a long time. Like, you struggle with who is this and why, like, where does she even fit in this whole picture? And then she's one of those, then you get to know her through, you know, her tapping you on the shoulder in some ways that you don't fully understand or something. And you go, now she's not a problem. She's like the greatest gift that you could imagine. You're like, oh, it turns around. But it does seem like many of us, both Catholic and Protestant, we have to go through that with Mary, that you got to go through the part where she's kind of a problem first before you kind of figure out who she is.
Yeah, I think that's a great description. And I think a lot of us are apprehensive to talk about her because of the fact that our Protestant brethren don't understand who she is and what her role is and all of that. And so I think you're right that there's got to be this wrestling with it where we sort of come to understand who she is in a deeper way. And then once it clicks. I mean, we get it. And I think that's when she really starts revealing herself to us, and we trust her even more.
Right. We learn to trust her. I really have to say I love the image of a family sitting down for 33 days and working through this consecration with the children. What a gift Mary is. What a spiritual protector in such a time of spiritual danger. We'll be back with more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed a list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answer's brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Radio, I believe, is the greatest tool for evangelization that the Church has today. And I know this because we hear from people all over the world that tell us all the time they came to faith in Christ, in the Catholic Church, through Catholic Radio. Guy that lives right next door to you, he might not ask you about your Catholic faith, but he'll ask us. He'll call in and say, tell me about the Catholic Church.
Dr. David Anders thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, great big giant Friday show. Dr. Kerry Gress is our guest this hour. We're talking about Mary and consecration for children, bringing Mary to life in young hearts and minds. The book comes out March 21st, so you can get your pre-order in. Can you get your pre-order in?
You can get your pre-order in. Yeah, actually, I think Amazon says April still, but it's March 21st and should be at your doorstep by Easter. It's a good Easter basket gift, I think.
And lots of folks are, I think you're right, Father Gately is the reason that many people are familiar with the idea of Marian consecration, and it's growing more and more. But I don't know how many millions of copies of that 33 Days to Morning Glory sold.
Oh, so many. Two. I mean, something insane.
Yeah, and they don't make, it's not expensive. I don't think they're making a ton of money on it or anything. It's just, they're just getting it out to people. And and really, really good stuff. And so what the hope is that, I guess, so people know what the process is, because you have a very similar process. It comes from St. Louis de Montfort, and it's in the book, Mary and Consecration for Children. It's little readings, prayers, reflections, and then a consecration at the end of it.
Yeah, it's 33 days. So each day they're broken up. It's broken up into four different parts, and then so each section, each week has a little reflection to read, and then there actually is a little snippet of the, you know, this trivia that I mentioned, and then there are actually discussion questions. So if you did do it as a family, you could talk about these different things that, you know, sort of subjective answers and just to create more discussion. But we there were originally lines underneath it, and someone said, but it looks a lot like homework that way. So we took the lines out. We didn't want it to look like homework.
That's funny.
Because that's brutal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a set of prayers. And the idea with the prayers was really to help people, children, to learn some of the prayers of the rosary if they didn't know them already. And so it, by the end of the 33 days, I think all of the prayers of the rosary are hit. And so at that stage, then they should know the rosary.
And I don't, at this part, I really don't know. I may have missed it, but is there a point at which the child has to make a decision for themselves? Like maybe a child said, I'm not ready for this, or I'm nervous about this or something. How do we work through that?
You know, I think that's something that a parent can help guide a child through and talk to their child about. I've got an introduction to it that is directed at the parents. But no, I think that's really where the parent comes in, sort of knows, like, and some of it even it just is maturity. I mean, I talk about my daughters doing Marian consecration early, but they were also girls and kind of mature for their age. But I can't imagine doing that for my boys in the same way. So I think some of it has a lot to do with personality and where they're at and all of that. So that, and that's something that, you know, parents kind of have a sense of too. And it might be something too, that you sort of underestimate your child's capacity. I think this is one of the things that we do all the time, is we don't give our kids enough credit to what it is God wants to do in their lives and open up that door for them to really explore that. And I think that's what this consecration tries to do, is to help them explore some of these big concepts, but in very bite size and manageable ideas that helps get them motivated about thinking about what their mission is and what God wants to do with them. And even at very tender ages, I mean, there's little Nelly, the saint who hasn't been canonized, but the saintly little girl that helped get the age for receiving her first communion lowered by the Pope. And she died at, I think, 5. So God can do amazing things through children. And we also know that Our Lady has appeared to so many children. Many of the apparitions were to children. So she clearly loves them and wants to reach them in a very special way, I think.
Yes. And I think also there's a way in which in our world, I know she wants us to sit down as families to spend some time praying together, sometimes sharing, you know, because it's just not going to be enough without that. You know, if we leave them on their own, it's not going to be enough.
Right. Right. No, I mean, we would never leave them on their own to learn math. I mean, we would never say, okay, well, you can learn math if you want, you know,
No,
it's something that they have to sort of learn the nuts and bolts, but there's no reason why it has to be painful. And so trying to do it as a family and do it in a way that speaks their language, I think is fun. And I think that this is something that parents will really enjoy. And the nice thing is, you know, all the stories too, even if the family hasn't read them, there's synopses of them, and then that might inspire your children to read other books as well. So there's a lot of pieces, I think, that this can edify just the family's culture in your home on a regular basis.
888-318-7884, our number. We're talking Marian Consecration for Children. Dr. Gress's brand new book is Marian Consecration for Children, Bringing Mary to Life in Young Hearts and Minds. 888-318-7884. What about the person who kind of thinks that this might be magical? Like, we're not doing magic here. That's not what this is.
Right. No, there's nothing magic here. This is really just recognizing that we call God the Father, and Our Lady is very much our mother, our spiritual mother, and she's very intent on helping us and wants to help us. And so it's just a matter of drawing closer to her and getting to know who she is. So, no magic here.
888-318-7884. If you've got questions online, go ahead and post them again, because I know I saw some questions and I've lost track of the questions online, and I want to make sure that I get to the online folks as well. The spiritual dangers that children are facing, it strikes me that a lot of them are connected with media. The exposure to media and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think there that when I think about this, you know, you have pictures in the books, a beautiful book to look at. Also, you have these wonderful stories. How much do you think this has value just because it's quiet and peaceful and it's not part of the noise that they're involved in every day?
Yeah. No, I think it's incredible for that reason. As well. I think all of us can use that kind of silence where we can just sit and look at a book and absorb the beauty of it and absorb something edifying that we read. But certainly more so children, because that's not really the way that they operate. They're not used to that kind of way of learning. It's usually much more about how do we entertain them? How do we just sort of turn on the electric babysitter, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it kind of let them be engaged in this. And this is, you know, it takes a little bit more because of the fact that it's not flashy and it's not, you know, it's not, there are no bells on this or buzzers or buttons or, you know, it doesn't read itself to you. I think that it's that in and of itself is a very valuable thing, just sort of getting the habit of reading, contemplating, and stewing over ideas even at a tender age can be very fruitful.
But I imagine that, you know, you're a theology professor and a spiritual writer and speaker and all that kind of stuff. What about the parent who just is like, I don't know enough to be able to do this?
Well, I think that's really the great part about the inspiration I had to include books, because you know, all parents can read these stories to their children, and so many of these will be familiar stories already. But you can just pick up the threads of what's already there. It's not complicated theology. It's pretty straightforward, and so it's something that a family can do together, and then create a language that they all can sort of speak. When you're struggling, if your child comes to you with a problem, you can say, "Oh, well, remember." This problem that the guy in Green Eggs and Ham had, and he didn't want to listen to Sam I Am, and it was because he was prideful. You know, connecting it back to these stories that they did in the consecration, I think can be helpful for helping them navigate some of the struggles that they deal with in their daily lives, and having that kind of common language will go a long way instead of sort of going back to, you know, the Greeks taught that this Christ was not going to help, you know. I mean, that kind of language is not going to work for anybody,
right?
Much less a small child. So, again, these touchstones of having stories that we all know and using that kind of common language, I think, is really helpful to no matter where you're at in your intellectual formation.
Lori on YouTube, Doctor, asks, "How can I start the process of consecrating my children to Mary? She has a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Is there a certain procedure that I need to do?" She wants to know.
With my book, it's just a matter of kind of reading through the book each day, and depending on the maturity of your 4-year-old, you could do it with that child. You could do it as a family, and the nice thing is you can redo it every year. I mean, it, one of the things that's the best thing about the Marian consecration is that you start it 33 days prior to a Marian feast, and then that feast actually becomes a feast of your family. So for instance, I did my Marian consecration on the Feast of the Annunciation, March 25th. This was 20 years ago. And it turns out I ended up getting married on that feast. And the Annunciation was something, was my favorite decade of the Rosary. Like there's signal graces about that feast that will come to mean something to your family. So it can be done, over and over again each year, so that as your children mature, they are going to absorb more in different pieces. And you're going to absorb more because you're going to be thinking about these things throughout the year. And then when it's time to do the Marian consecration again, you can just go that much deeper. Certainly doesn't have to be done every year, but it can be great benefit, especially as a family is growing, to do it over again, because it's kind of a fun experience. And to do it certainly during Lent or Advent would also be a great time to do that as a family.
And it becomes a family tradition. Yeah, even if it's
right.
not, even if it's not
right.
every year, but it can still right. become a family tradition. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not like if we did the consecration with the 2-year-old, and then the 2-year-old
right.
doesn't know
right.
what's going on.
Has no idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. Oh well, Dr. Grass, we have to take a quick break. We'll get to calls when we come back. We're talking about Marrying Consecration for Children, the brand new book. And a wonderful idea from Dr. Carrie Gress, the subtitle of the book, Bringing Mary to Life in Young Hearts and Minds. And boy, is that an important task in these dangerous spiritual times. 888-318-7884 is our number. If you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Carrie Gress on Marrying Consecration for Children after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right. Subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on 1-year subscriptions and $20 less on 2-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order. Order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous period in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform Yourself is a great place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Carrie Gress is our guest this hour. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And, you know, I think we all are aware of it. Well, one thing we know from Catholic media is we get lots of people asking us for our chaplains and so forth for prayers for the family. And by far the most common thing people ask if we will keep in their prayers is that their children have left the faith and that their children will come back to the faith. It is – we live in spiritually perilous times. There are dangers everywhere, and it's not to be a fraidy cat, but just to admit the reality that there are temptations and there are intimidations and there are obsessions and all kinds of things that are there to draw people away from the faith. And so many have talked about reinvigorating Catholic culture in the Catholic family, reinvigorating at the level of the family this sense of a strong Catholic identity so that the culture can be resisted in all of its very damaging power. And that's, what I think, a good part of what Marrying Consecration for Children is about. The book that Dr. Gress will actually come out on March 21st, Marrying Consecration for Children, Bringing Mary to Life in Young Hearts and Minds. How much is that a priority for you, Dr. Gress, this idea that we need maybe a different culture in the home, a Catholic, yeah. fully shot through Catholic culture?
All right. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we started living that? Yeah, pretty remarkable. But unfortunately, I think that's the problem, is there's so much damage, and it's so hot, there's so many wounds, and it's very difficult to begin to even understand what that is. I think we've gotten away from that sense. And that's the best thing about Mary, though, is that when we invite her into our lives, she sort of reseeds the family in the sense that she starts bringing in her influence and bringing order to the family and, you know, flushing out a lot of these things that are not of her and are not of God and helping to bring back goodness and order and beauty and all of these kinds of concepts that we all long for, even though we don't really know how to articulate what it is that we're longing for. But she starts bringing that back in, some wholesomeness and mission and even, you know, an understanding of suffering and joy in suffering, too. I think those are the important lessons. You know, we all deal with suffering on so many different levels, but it's something that we all share in common. And she helps bring us back to this place where we can understand suffering and do it in a way where we're offering Christ our suffering and seeing real fruit from it.
If you have questions about consecrating your children to Mary or working with your children to consecrate themselves to Mary, give us a call, 888-318-7884. And if that doesn't make any sense to you and you'd like us to help you make sense of it, that give us a call as well, 888-318-7884. One of the really shocking things that a lot of research is telling us now about what's happening with young people is that it's by middle school that many Catholic youth say that they no longer accept the faith. Middle school. Mm-hmm. And I think
and like that first call we just got, right?
Right. Like a 14-year-old child. And it does seem to me for one thing, I mean, I suppose that we should, I don't want to say be involved in something controversial here, but maybe we should be rethinking the age at which they're confirmed to some degree, because the sacrament is very powerful in its protections. That's just my own personal thing, though. But it's certainly true that giving them Mary and Jesus as protectors at an early age, it seems just essential.
Yeah. No, I think it is. And like I said, I mean, adults that I know that have done Marian consecration, it really acts like a spiritual Kevlar. There are so many things that people are just protected from. And there's a great quote I ran across about a spiritual director for a seminary. And this priest said, you know, if a priest has a close relationship to Mary, then he will really, his priesthood will be a success. He'll be ordained. He'll be a success. You know, he'll be a great priest, but it's much harder. And in fact, he actually said, he went so far as to say that the priest will not be stay a priest without having this relationship with Our Lady. So it's something that is just incredibly fundamental to our faith. And so if we can give it to our children and they can start there instead of, you know, like me and so many I know where it's like we had to go through all this awful stuff that we did and learn the hard way, like this is not what's going to make you happy.
Right.
And then get on the right path. If you can start that path early when they're, you know, still young and help them see that, where she can give them wisdom and she can protect them in very dramatic ways. You know, and I think even as a mother, I think about, you know, God forbid anything happen to me. I want this child to still have a spiritual, know their spiritual mother. And actually one of the children that the book is dedicated to, I dedicated to my godchildren. One of them just lost her mother about a year ago. And so I was very mindful of that in the book as well, that understanding that, you know, even when a physical mother is not present, that Our Lady really wants to fill in that gap and be present to us in clear and direct and practical ways and not just in our imaginations or in ways that are just too beyond our intellects, but in very tangible and real ways in our lives. So that's an exciting piece of it is just to see that so many things doors can be opened and bad doors can be closed through this consecration in our children's lives. And that's what motivated me to write it. In fact, I had two other books that were in the queue to write before this one. And we all decided like, let's push those off and work on this one because, it's important and really needed.
Well, you know, as you spoke there, though, maybe think, do you recommend or would you suggest that parents Father Gately's book or, you know, 33 Days to Morning Glory or one of the other kind of interpretations of the process of consecration, do that themselves first and
sure,
then introduce
yeah.
this to their family?
You know, they could do that. I mean, the nice thing about this one is if they haven't done Marian consecration, they can all do it as a family together. And it's not like it wouldn't work because they're too old. You know, there's no age limit on it. But if they wanted something that was definitely more in-depth, then Gately's book would be great. And of course, even St. Louis de Montfort's style. I think once you get used to it, there's a lot, there's incredible wisdom in there and a lot of really great gems that are also worth reading. So it just kind of depends on a person's personality and frankly also on their time. Because a lot of us don't have time to be doing a consecration both with our children and separately on our own. So if you can do it, wrap it up in one, that would certainly be great. And then, you know, as they get older, redoing it, with something that's more age appropriate is another idea too.
888-318-7884. Our number, Dr. Carrie Gress is our guest. Her penultimate book, is that the right way to say it? You'll have to help me. You're the philosopher.
Yes.
Was The Marian Option, God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis. And her current book is Marian Consecration for Children, Bringing Mary to Life in Young Hearts and Minds. And seeing the order of these books gives me the question, is what's Mary's view on this? I mean, it seems to me like in the Marian Option, you are arguing that Mary is trying to get us to a certain kind of a spiritual agenda that in order to save the modern world, in essence, and save souls. Mm-hmm. Does this Marian consecration fit with that agenda that she's got?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it flows right out of it. I think it's all a piece of that idea in the Marian Option that she has been given. She's really the perfect saint to help us with the stage in the world, and we can see that in so many different ways. From even just looking at the way women are attacked, I mean, she's the antidote to that.
Right.
There's so many different clues, and I certainly go through those in the Marian Option. But this is just another layer of it, where we can just recognize, you know, we can't leave our children out in the cold, but that Our Lady wants to help them too. She wants them to have a sense of their own mission. She wants them to grow, to become spiritually mature. And that's the best thing about Our Lady. She doesn't leave us children. She helps us to grow and mature in dramatic ways. And I love the example of the children at Fatima. Little now Saint Jacinta to read the stories about her and the suffering that she went through, and, you know, just remarkable suffering, but she's willing to do it because Mary had asked her to do it. And she just had this deep, deep faith that she wouldn't have had she not encountered Mary at Fatima. It was really this encounter with Our Lady that transformed her, transformed Francisco, transformed Lucia, Lucia. And so it just changed those children's lives dramatically to encounter Mary. And so we have that capacity. We have that ability. We have that honor to be able to do that through Marian consecration and really change our own lives through that encounter with her as a real person. And so I think it gets very exciting when you think about, you know, those three kids. What did she do with those three kids? Well, what could she do with all of our children if we all Catholics consecrated their children to Our Lady? I mean, it would change the world dramatically within a few years if we could do that. But
right.
Even just with a few children, you know, a handful of children, she can do dramatic things. So it's very hopeful.
Gil, I made you wait a long time. I apologize for that. Could you give us your question kind of quickly for Dr. Gress so she'll have a chance to answer it?
Yes. I wanted to ask, in light of Matthew 1:21, it says, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. How do I reach Protestant kids with consecration to Mary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think two things quickly. You know, one is, again, that idea that Christ came to us through her, and therefore we can go back to him through her, that she is this mediator that he chose to come to us. And then, of course, the other one is just to recognize that she is the perfect model Christian. She offers us the best model of how it is that we are to live our lives as Christians. So I think those are kind of the best ways to deal with the issue. I know it's a really hard one, and I've dealt with it a lot myself. But I think, you know, when it comes down to it, and I think finally, actually, one of my favorite ideas is to recognize in the Magnificat, which of course is in Luke, where she says, all generations will call me blessed. She didn't just mean, you know, she had no exceptions. All generations will call me blessed. So she wasn't leaving out the Protestants, you know, from the 15th century on or
right,
16th
exactly.
century on, you know, she meant everybody.
Right.
So I think that's just another piece to sort of put the pieces together and see that Our Lady really is worth getting to know and venerating.
Dr. Carey, Gil, first of all, thank you very much for that call. I'm sorry. I got to you so late. MyFavoriteCatholicThings.com is Dr. Carey Gress's blog. MyFavoriteCatholicThings.com. The Marian Option, God's Solution to a Civilization in Crisis is her book. And the most recent one coming up, actually, on the 21st of March, Marian Consecration for Children, Bringing Mary to Life in Young Hearts and Minds. Dr. Carey Gress, thank you very much.
Thank you, Cy.
And thanks to all of our listeners. Only got to be with you one day this week. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.